हरि नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो यदर्थ इह कर्माणि विद्वन्मानि असिक्रन्नरः करोति अतो विपर्यसाम् अमोघं विन्दति फलम् यदर्थ इह Translation prepared by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. A materialistic person, thinking himself very advanced in intelligence, continually acts for economic development. But again and again, as enunciated in the Vedas, he is frustrated by material activities, either in this life or in the next. Indeed, the results one obtains are inevitably the opposite of those one desires. Purport. No one has ever achieved the results he desired from material activities. On the contrary, everyone has been frustrated again and again. Therefore, one must not waste his time in such material activities for sensual pleasure, either in this life or in the next. So many nationalists, economists, and other ambitious persons have tried for happiness individually or collectively. But history proves that they have all been frustrated. In recent history, we have seen many political leaders work hard for individual and collective economic development, but they have all failed. This is the law of nature, as clearly explained in the next verse. Oh. Srila Prabhupada, our beloved founder Acharya, always said that Krishna consciousness is a science. He never just said it is an art. There is the art of deity worship, the art of performing kirtan, there is the art of performing abhishek, the art of performing so many things, cooking nicely. But it is not just an art. Prabhupada says this, material education is only an art, it is not science. The fundamental diversion from the regular stream of thought, that material education is art and spiritual education is science. That means you get, Prabhupada says, you get B.A., your Bachelor of Arts. You get the art of learning literature. Or MBA, the art of managing funds and finance and, you know, people, whatever, projects. Or like that. So these are all simply arts. The whole education system is just an art, but there is no science. Here is the science. Prabhupada is talking about laws of material nature. Now, we are used to learning about laws in Newtonian laws. We all have learnt in physics, 11th standard, 12th standard. Law of thermodynamics, like that. Laws. But can anybody expect that there could be laws given in Srimad Bhagavatam? Deep. And these are laws which are fundamental laws. There is a field of science called as fundamental science. TIFR is the Tata Institute of Fundamental Research, Fundamental Science. So in Srimad Bhagavatam, there may be so many other superior forms of laws, Newtonian laws and this laws and that laws and whatever. But what are the fundamental laws which govern nature that science can never unearth? Here is a powerful verse coming from the lips of a Mahajan, talking about fundamental aspects of material nature. Look at the conviction, look at the force of what Prabhupada Maharaj is saying. And look at, of course, equally Prabhupada matches up with his own conviction. He said, no one that means if you are in accordance with this law, then yes. If against, then it is no. No one has ever achieved the results he desires from material activities. He's again, the word frustrated comes 3-4 times in this purport. Frustrated. So, we must believe strongly, factually, that we are being trained in the science of Krishna consciousness. It is not just a belief system. And it can be testified because it is science. You can test it. You put 100 million people in a test tube and expose them to sensual pleasures, pleasure of sense gratification. Expose them. Like in a test tube, you put some chemicals and expose it to various temperatures, pressures, like that. Chemicals and see reactions. What is the reaction of a person when he's in the test tube of material existence? Is the reaction pain or the reaction pleasure? We put him on the fire. He did, we used to do in our 11th standard lab. Remember, all of us, test tube and one, that forceps, and you hold it for 10 minutes and then you see some gas and this and that. So put the whole material existence, all the people inside, and put them under the fire of material existence and see, do you get pleasure fumes or pain fumes? What do you think you will get? Fumes, dark fumes, only of pain. So we can see, a science is something which is reproducible. It's not you did some theory and you can say something about it in your own lab and you print some paper. And if you do it, if he does it, if she does it, anybody does it, anywhere in the part of the world, it has to be the same reproducible results. That is science. So whether somebody enjoys material pleasure in India, fumes of pain, sense gratification in America, fumes of pain, even more far more economic developed Switzerland, Japan, fumes of pain, in the heavenly planets, you put Indra in a test tube with all his ganas, and they are enjoying, as Prabhupada says, millions of times more sense gratification than us. Pains of. So who can deny, who can challenge what Prabhupada is saying here, ever? Because he is saying it is a law of nature. That if you try for pleasure, you get just the opposite. It's a law. Anybody can test it and see. Tamal Krishna Maharaj used to give open challenges, in his Fiji lectures. He said, I challenge you. You chant Hare Krishna mantra for 1 month, 16 rounds. And if you don't feel pleasure, I'll give you $10,000 that time, 1971. Now, how can anybody give a challenge like that in public? But nobody took the challenge. He was so scared of his convictions. He was thundering like a lion from the dais. Nobody did that. We can see all around us. History is saying it again and again and again that this is a proven fact that nobody has been happy in material existence. The maximum economic development the planet has observed historically is after the Second World War. The world was never so prosperous, of course. In India, we were very prosperous in Vedic times. But if you keep that apart, from medieval times onwards, since the Vedic culture was destroyed, in recent times, you can say, let's put it like that. In recent times, in the last maybe 500 years or so, the world was never as prosperous as it was after the Second World War. The amount of growth in terms of gadgets, cars, food items, housing amenities, roads, everything. The amount of depression which was suffered by the people, the parents, were deprived of their pleasures of life during 1940-44, there was a great surge of growth. So that practice, the graph peaked in its 60s. From 44 onwards, after the war, the growth started, economic growth. And the next 15 years, because of hard labor of these Americans who felt that they should give the best to their children now, because they are war-hit children, they must get everything which the world can offer. So science was used exclusively only for to generate products which will give complete gratification and fulfillment of all your material desires. The aim and the desire and the pleasure is there. Whatever you want. Drugs, cars, two-in-ones, everything. But what is the result? That history of that, you know, nature teaches us lessons. Of course, Acharya teaches us lessons also, but Mother Nature, Mother is Mother. Mother always teaches everything to these children. But Mother Nature showed that not one or two, not five or ten, not 15 or 100, but thousands upon thousands of those young people who are exposed to a type of sense gratification which no other child in the history had ever seen, they all ended up as hippies. This is the proof. That sense gratification leads to frustration. What is a hippie? Hippie is a frustrated person. Is it not? Hippie is a peak of frustration. Hippieism. If there is an ism like that. He is frustrated with what the world has to offer to him. Of course, he is an intelligent person in one sense. Because he has the conviction to say no. This is not the real pleasure that the world is saying. He has the conviction to deny that if everyone is saying this is pleasure, I say this is not, and I'm going to look in a different direction. Of course, he's in ignorance because he doesn't know where to look, up or down, right or left. Therefore, he keeps on experimenting with various things, Eastern, Western, Oriental, this, that. He just keeps, you know, wobbling in the darkness. But at least he has the conviction to come out and say, this doesn't work. This mechanism of pleasure doesn't work. And whatever our parents are saying is a lie. They are cheaters. What politicians are saying is cheating. What education is saying is cheating. It doesn't work. Why? Because it is a law. Sense gratification has never made anybody happy in this world. No matter what a man tries, the words of God always prevail as an indomitable fact that this will remain for posterity to be a dukkhalayam. And that word is infallible. It was coming out from Achyuta, the infallible Lord. That he says that is dukkhalayam asashvatam means it will remain. No matter what man tries and boasts, it will never bring him happiness. Such a powerful thing. When will the eyes of man open to the blatant facts which he sees in front of his own eyes? But we are so foolish. As they say, pashana pina pashati, you cannot just see what history is saying again and again and again. Therefore, when Srila Prabhupada went to New York, how it is so beautiful that it is at the height of frustration of the American young generation was Prabhupada sent there. He could have been sent in 1923 also. The moment the next year he received instruction from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he could have gone there. But 44 years he couldn't go there. Why? Because the world was not ready. The tawa was not hot to cook the chapati. You put a chapati on a, you know, flameless tawa, it just stays there. Nothing cooks. Or if you eat in a stomach which is not hungry, the food just stays there. It doesn't get digested. So the world had to actually get heated up in frustration. Prabhupada could go and give the real medicine. And we can see that the same group of people, now we have the second experiment starts. The first experiment was proved that this doesn't work. So what works? if drugs don't work, if sex doesn't work, if cars don't work, if men and women's relation doesn't work, if buildings don't work, skyscrapers buildings don't work, roads don't work, two-in-ones and mobiles don't work, if all this doesn't matter, what works? Something has to work. Prabhupada went there and gave them Krishna consciousness. And it was proved by history, it worked. Not for one or two people who are just, you know, some vague, but it worked for thousands of people at one and the same time. Everyone experienced a change of consciousness. There was a massive transformation of consciousness across the board in the entire young population of America. Why? Because Prabhupada had the science. He knew the science. Prabhupada is the greatest scientist in the on planet Earth. He knew the type of science with today's science cannot even fathom. People are just groping with consciousness still. I mean, what a ridiculous type of science we have today. They're not even sure that there is consciousness or not. They cannot even prove consciousness. So they say, well, if it cannot prove, then we're not sure whether it is there or not. That is the level of what science is talking about today. The big, big Nobel laureates are groping with mechanisms to prove consciousness. Which is a fact of life. Everything around you see is conscious. Every ant, every mosquito is a conscious living entity. People are not able to even figure out what it is all about. That is the level the topmost scientists are at. That's where science is at right now. There are some 10 questions with the world with the sun scientists are not still able to get answers. There are 10 major questions. One of them is about the origin of the universe. And so many others are there. But consciousness. They don't know anything about this. And here Srimad Bhagavatam talks about, it's a detailed science of consciousness. Prabhupada said, a moment was Krishna consciousness. So that means he knew what consciousness is all about. He knew what is un-Krishna consciousness. He knew what is Krishna consciousness. He knew all about consciousness. So a person who knows about consciousness is a real scientist. Since Prabhupada knew everything about consciousness, all varieties of consciousness, we can definitely crown Srila Prabhupada as being the greatest scientist. And the proof is what? That he could defeat so many scientists in argument. And make them appear like fools. The law of nature operates. Let's understand this. That you get opposite results. You try. The moment Ravan started trying that I want to have this lady to enjoy. He starts off. He makes a plan in his mind. I want to go and see that I can get this person. Kidnap her and have her for myself. From the point he starts desiring to enjoy in that way, the seed of misery is already planted. Unknown to the person, the moment two things are happening, even though he thinks only one thing is happening. He sows the seed of pleasure in his mind, and somewhere in this cosmic creation is also another seed being planted. The seed of pain, which he is not experiencing still. It is out of his consciousness. As he goes closer to that fulfillment of desire, that comes closer also. And he goes closer, it comes closer. And the moment he gets it done, it starts fructifying. It's wonderful. It's amazing. It's mind-boggling how this is working. Just if you were to realize this fact from within our heart nicely, properly, we would be, sparkling with realization, like the sun. That the moment it is like Newtonian laws in one sense. Every action has opposite reaction. The moment you sow the seed of pleasure, there is also sown another seed of pain. Simultaneously. At one and the same time. And the more stronger you are desiring that pleasure, the more stronger is that seed of pain being sowed also. The more desperate you are to get that, it was just a flimsy desire. No, I want to go from here to Mira Road by car. It cannot be like a very intense desire. I want to go by car. No, no, you can go by road, and you can take a train and whatever. It's a very ordinary type of desire. But Ravan's desire, we can see what was the thrust of his consciousness, that he was able to compromise with everything he had with him for fulfillment of this desire. He was damn serious about this desire of his. He was willing to let go anything. To see that this one desire surmounts and supersedes all other desires which I have. Even if it means the loss of my son Indrajit, no problem. Loss of my brother Kumbhakarna, no problem. I will let go all these things. I love my brother, I love my son, but that love for my brethren does not supersede the desire to enjoy this woman. So it is an intense type of desire, and see the intense type of pain he underwent. All his rakshasas are getting destroyed, chopped off. And before Ravan could come, Hanuman gave a taste of what that pain was going to be like. Ravan lost one son. I have to forget his name. I think it was Nikumbh or somebody. Akshay. He lost one of his dear sons to a monkey who had just come with a message. So, even there his pain starts. You lose a son, it's a big loss. Some soldiers here and there, like pawns, they are like flies, they die, it's okay. But your son dies. So he already got that strong signal from the very beginning that this is not, I'm playing with fire. But he persisted. Irresistible. Prabhupada gives the example of the moth. Such a nice example. Even though the moth is experiencing pain of wings getting scorched by that fire, but the attractive light which is of the candle is so much, captivating the consciousness of the moth, that next you find that moth is dead. As Radha Maharaj says, so many things you see in nature which just teaches you so many examples. Every lamppost has this, vati, saucer of the, where there are, 10,000 those pakhru, dead. If somebody were to clean it up, previous night, and then, in the next month, there'll be a lot of another 10,000 pakhrus dead next morning. Any pakhru can see, my brothers are all dead. If I go there, I will also will die. He sees his brother in dead, but he runs through the same thing. Puna puna charvita charunana. We just don't learn our lessons. Material life is a life to learn. We are here in this world to learn. Until we don't learn, we will not go back to Godhead. We keep on learning, and nature will keep on teaching us various experiences. All experiences of life, the smallest experiences are all experiences to learn. We just don't learn in the Bhagavatam class. That's not the only place we learn. We may learn important things here, but many, many things we learn even in a sojourn of life. Like Radhanath Swami, for example. He did not have a book to read. Of course, he had books, but he just felt that he should learn life by traveling in this world. He just traveled anywhere and everywhere where his heart, where his super soul guided him, and he just learned and picked up powerful lessons from nature. Like we see one day he was, in the forest, and he was seeing monkeys in the forest, and how they were, each monkey had his own tree, which he was very positive about. Another monkey, tried to jump on that tree. How they showed all those caricatures, and they fought, and they were like really snarling at each other. And especially if there was a female monkey, then how the monkey was behaving in a awkward way, agitated by presence of somebody who was stimulating his senses, and how somebody else was trying to grab that other lady monkey. How he was getting, so he was seeing, experiencing, what life is all about by sitting on, Manikarnika Ghat, seeing bodies burning. He was learning powerful lessons. Here is a man who is actually looking for the essence of life. He can just observe phenomena and pick up lessons and enrich his consciousness. And within 6 months of his travel, he learned so much more than you can ever learn. Even if you read a whole library of books, you can't learn that. And based on that knowledge which he gathered in 6 months to 9 months, he was prepared to on his voyage of eternal life. Srila Prabhupada just consolidated his realizations by giving the higher understanding of life. So we actually are learning constantly. But like I asked Bhavanand Prabhu that sometime back, 2 years back, I said, Prabhu, we hear Bhagavatam class. We are reading the scriptures. We are hearing this again and again. What we are saying from this dais is not the first time we are hearing this. We have heard this again and again, all these things. But why don't we change? Why do we still hanker for sense gratification? Why? His answer was very clear, and he has given the answer many times. Because you are a mudha, he said. You are a fool. That's why you're still you're hearing this again and again. So the question is, when we will learn our lessons? Anything which we have, Satrajit had this powerful diamond. And he was so possessive of it, right? He didn't want to part it with the Lord. In fact, it was giving my ego satisfaction of being like a second son. He was already a friend of the son, and son had given him this huge, powerful jewel, which was shining, making him brilliant. He was as brilliant as the sun. Imagine the power of one jewel. You know, people wear jewel in their noses and their earlobes, which don't shine for more than, 10 meters, you cannot see it also. What type of jewel? That he was like the sun. Obviously, he was very possessive of it. And was producing 170 pounds of gold, it seems, every day when worshipped. 170 pounds of gold is a huge amount of gold. But we can see that artificial desire to enjoy the name and fame of having this jewel, what was the result? He excited the hate and envy of another man called Shatadhanva, who butchered him in the night when he was sleeping. Like an animal is butchered in a slaughterhouse. He was butchered, Prabhupada says. Butchered means everything finished. Shreds of the body. For just possessing that. If you would have just, he knew Krishna is around. He knew he's Dwarkadish, the Lord. And he is the real possessor of everything. If he had just parted with this jewel, he would have earned so much of credit. And it was saved his life. But he was butchered. So everyone is like that. We are all trying to possess our jewels, different jewels. We may have different jewels. Possess. More and more. Who's that? Paul Getty? He'll ask this question. One time he was a big man, I think. Paul Getty. One of the rich men in the world. He was asked, can you tell us one word which is like, which really expresses your consciousness. This is like exercise in psychology. Where you just give one word to whatever you are feeling. So how do you feel today? You say, great. Oh. How do you feel? Ecstatic. Devotees say, right? Ecstatic. One word. Just one. You say ecstatic means, what he's going through. A nice prasad, a nice kirtan, and it's ecstatic. So can you tell me one word which summarizes all that you are feeling within your consciousness, which summarizes your aspirations, your goals, your ambitions, everything in one word. He said, more. The one word is more. There's nothing else in my mind, more. Rich man, one of the richest men in the world, what is in his consciousness? More. But try and examine this. A man who was being offered everything and said no. And that is the simple example of Kulavesha Sridhar. Who would not want to stay in a nice mansion if you are staying in a hut? Who's such a fool? He said, Prabhu, you are so poor. I mean, really, you have got more holes than roof, more holes than cloth. And there's not even some semblance of furniture. Nothing is there. At least stay in a nice house. He said, no. Now, the type of that particular pastime is so wonderful for us to really meditate upon. That the tiny consciousness of Sridhar, which is the soul is so small, 10,000 tip of the hair, he was being offered pleasures. The soul is experiencing pleasure. But pleasure is not just staying in a flat, 2 BHK, 3 BHK, 5 BHK flat. I will give you the pleasures of Indra. And he's saying, no. Just one guy is saying, you are more, when he has everything of this world, and either a really poor man, abject poverty, below poverty line, he's being offered the pleasure of Indra. He's saying, no. No more. No more. I don't want anything more than this. I will, Ashta Siddhis I will give you. So no more, I don't want that also. That means he had something, I don't want anything more than that. Ashta Siddhis, no more. Indra's planet, no more. King of the world, no more. I will take you back to Godhead in Vaikuntha, no more. He's just saying opposite of this fool called Paul Getty. I don't want anything more than I have. He said, why? He said, you must take something from me. Now here is the Lord who's getting frustrated actually. The giver is, she said, please ask for something. He's feeling that here is a man who I'm giving him all that I can give him, and he's denying everything. So I want to give you something. Please ask for something. Huh? Sridhar said, I have everything. What a beautiful answer. I have everything. That, what is the meaning of that? What was he really having? He was having the opulence of bhakti in his heart. That is the greatest wealth. The soul is seeking satisfaction. Actually, it is not seeking pleasure. It is seeking pleasure for experiencing true fulfillment and satisfaction. But since material pleasures are designed to only aggravate inflammation. You know what is inflammation? If you look at the desire can be considered like a germ. The moment the germ enters the body, it creates an infection. Correct? So the infection comes. Medical science. What are those inflammatory markers are generated? There are various inflammatory markers. That means that they propagate inflammation. So lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion are like six inflammatory markers of artificial desire to enjoy this world. Till the desire is there, inflammation is going to be there. So keep on desiring, that inflammatory response of swelling and redness and pain will remain. There are three signs of inflammation: redness, swelling, and pain. Till you have that infection, this inflammation will always remain. So taking a painkiller is no good job, because the infection is still there. You can reduce the swelling, you may reduce the pain, but the infection, the germ is still there. So all science is like painkillers. It momentarily gives you some sense of relief from pain. All pleasures of this world are only like temporary painkillers. The moment the painkiller effect is gone, the pain is there as it is. Somebody who has a backache for a long time or sore throat, they know. You take Voveran tablet today, for 8 hours you are pain-free. Or some long-acting Voveran, 24 hours you are pain-free. Tomorrow again you take another Voveran tablet. They aren't taking painkillers and they destroy their kidneys like that. All pleasures are just like pain, they suppress. That's all. They don't cure. No painkiller has ever cured anything in this world. It has only successfully suppressed pain. So material sense gratification is like a painkiller. It suppresses the feeling of pain of this world. Doesn't even think on the positive side. But Sridhar is giving this example for us, all of us, to learn that the real joy is the joy of the soul. At Sri Radha Gopinath temple, tomorrow is a very historical day for us. It marks the birthday of their lordships, Sri Radha Gopinath, who come in our midst by their causeless mercy. And all of us who are here can vouch for this. We are in the test tube of this temple. We can all vouch for this, that we are experiencing here complete satisfaction. Is it not? Satisfaction. There is nothing to hanker for. Everything you need in your life is being provided by Radha Gopinath and its temple. Everything. Literally everything. It is not just some spiritual, you know, well, Harinam eva kevalam, you know, Harinam is everything. So, literally, the shelter, desire for social life, desire for friendship, whatever are the physical and emotional needs, spiritual needs of the individual, every social, spiritual, physical need of the individual are being fulfilled to the most beautiful extent by this wonderful temple. So we can anticipate that when Srila Prabhupada was asked, that Prabhupada, do you, in a dying man, you usually ask questions. Kuch ichha hai? Yeah, some desire. It's part of hospice care also. When a person is dying, they ask dying man, do you have any desires? And many, many people, even sannyasis, GBCs, when they leave their body, they have desires. Of course, they have spiritual desires. They want to know where the samadhi is going to be. They may want to know so many things. They may want to know who will take care of this project when I was taking care of this daily department. Who will take care of this? So I have spiritual desire. They have anxieties. Who will grant that thing when they are gone? So they have desires, but of course, they have desires to know how things will be managed in their absence. Like Narmada Maharaj, you know, he had a desire. He wanted to know how BBT will be managed after he leaves his world. Once he was told everything, then he was very peaceful. But he had desires, he had anxieties, even at the time of death. Srila Prabhupada was asked, what was his answer? Three words. Kuch ichha nahi. Finished. Kuch ichha. Nothing. Kuch ichha nahi. It is very, very likely, if we continue on this path of Krishna consciousness as is being presented to us by this temple, and if we keep on adding to our consciousness what is being offered, it is very, very likely that when we are about to die, when we are asked, my dear Prabhu, my dear Mataji, you have any desires in this world? Because everything has been taken care of. We are very likely to say, kuch ichha nahi. Anya Bilashita has become now Shunya. Everything I wanted in my life has been provided. Just one good Sunday Kirtan. What an experience that is. Last Sunday, Gaurgopal Prabhu gave a brilliant lecture, Sunday feast, talking about how even if you come in contact with Krishna consciousness in a remote way, even if you throw a stone on some singing devotee on the hippie hill, that fellow became a devotee afterwards. Beautiful stories he narrated last time. About his visit to Italy and all that. That lady who went to Goa searching for God and met that, you know. Another lady from Italy who knew Italian language and who took him to some Belgium village. And, you know, we heard all that last time. And how she became a devotee. She was looking for God in Goa. There is no God practically except the ISKCON temple which provides some avenue. There is no practically, there is a lot of Maya there. But she got Krishna, even in Goa. She became a devotee. So, just one Sunday Kirtan, and they did the Kirtan in the end, in his melodious voice. How everyone was dancing. Hands raised, half an hour we were just dancing, jumping. Hearts pouring out. You go on a yatra. You're at Bamshibat. We had Bamshibat, we had. And Radha Maharaj sings Kirtan there. I remember years ago there was a Kirtan, beautiful Kirtan at Man Mandir. Unforgettable experiences. Everyone was crying in ecstasy, praying to the Lord with intense emotion. Lights were darkened out. Nobody was seeing each other practically. It was only you and Krishna and the holy name. Everything else had become shunya practically. You're not bothered about your body, your sense gratification. Nothing matters there. It's just singing Kirtan with intense emotion at the top of your lungs. It is building up, building, building, crescendo, 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 climax.
And everyone is swinging and swirling. And tears are flying out from the eyes of the devotees. They don't want the kirtan to end in eternity, in once, for a second. Staying high forever. Even just few such experiences within our movement are unforgettable. That's what we are hankering for, these experiences of Bhagavatam classes, looking at the deities. We are hankering for these experiences. Why do we go for a yatra? Because we want to enrich ourselves with experiences, deep spiritual experiences. We are not going for prashad or for sightseeing or tourism. We want to grab deep experiences of life. When you get these experiences, no experience of this world, however promising it is, it appears all pale. Whatever pleasures are there, pale. I asked a patient yesterday, he's a doctor. His liver function was deranged. I said, sir, what is wrong with you? Your liver is not improving, I'm giving you medicine. So I take alcohol every day. So you are a doctor, you're taking alcohol, you know how sinful this is? What is the pleasure of your alcohol? He said, half an hour. For half an hour pleasure, you are destroying your liver? Doesn't make any sense? Fool. Okay, now take this ad form and get me a donation. Do some prashchit. So I gave him an ad form. I said, doctor, we like this hospital very much. I'll bring some donation next time. You better give some money, You're such a fool. You're drinking alcohol. What experiences of pleasure they have got? Insignificant. What they can say, what they can brag, they can only boast. They can put up a plastic smile and say, everything is fine. Look at the devotees here. Let anybody come in this environment and experience this. People were yelling in kirtan today morning at 5 o'clock. Who can yell in kirtan like that at 5 o'clock? Beautiful. So every day, actually, Krishna is so kind, every day our experiences are getting reinforced. Stronger and stronger and stronger, and it is so beautiful. All those material desires are getting wiped out. Anichi aushadi maya. The aushadi is being taken every day. Nashi baro lagi. That infection, that inflammation is subsiding every day. Without our knowledge also. Let us just keep getting more and more of this. We want, even if I'm, what do you want? I want more of these experiences. Yes, we want more. We want more kirtan. You want more prasad, more association. With more beautiful dresses of the Lord. Tomorrow is going to be a nice dress. Tomorrow night, there will be a special dress for Gopinath's birthday. Birthday dress, everyone, birthday, birthday boy, wears new dress. So Krishna is also a person. He's a boy. Boy of Vrindavan. Yashoda Nandan. He'll wear a nice dress tomorrow, today night, to give darshan in the morning. And then daytime, he'll wear a new dress again. So all emotions are being, devoted towards Gopinath. To see him wearing new dress, you lose your desire to wear new dress. And dancing for his pleasure. This is such wonderful experiences of life. Our process of chanting, dancing, feasting is so beautiful. Prabhupada's words are being proved in our life every day. The laws of nature are operating. Because we are not desiring material pleasures, we are being flooded with spiritual joy. Every devotee will testify this. Because he is not chasing material life like a madman, like a fool, because he is keeping that at rest, in a state of inertia, dormant. That's why he is being flooded without even asking. He is getting all these pleasures. He is not even asking for this, but it is just happening. You just come here on every Sunday, every festival, and you just get it. Free of charge. No pub, no nothing, nothing. Nothing required. No discotheques, kuch nahin. This is the best discotheque. Get intoxicated on holy name. So let us be grateful tomorrow. That this temple, these deities, Gaur Nithai, Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, Her Grace Lalita Vishakha, Goddesses of Fortune, our eternal friend Gopalji, how much they have showered. Shower, rainfall.
of mercy. And we are simply receiving. Big cup, small cup, whatever cup we have, we are simply receiving. If we go on receiving, then we can end our life, we can say, now, kuch ichha nahi. I don't have any other desires. Transported. Back home, back to Godhead. And thus make the words of Prahlad Maharaj come true. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? Yes, comments.
Thank you for it. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very nice class, Prabhu. I was hearing this purport which you mentioned, and where Prabhupada was making it so clear that nobody can be happy in this world. Everybody has to get frustrated. This experience which I'm last for about 15 days or a month or so, I'm just experiencing, this has given me so much strong conviction with this Prabhupada purport. Is that before 6 months back, just before 6 months back in India, India was booming. Economically, India was booming. Everybody was saying that India going to be a superpower within 20 years. And all over the world, people were having only one eye, that is on India. They were investing money. They were going to come to India. They wanted to give their life to India. All the worldwide big people, they were just putting their money over here. And in last 6 months, I was to always been reading all the newspapers and magazines and all analysis and all those things. I have not heard even a single person, not even a single person or an analyst or anybody who was predicting that within 6 months, India will be in a doldrum. Not a single person. I have not heard even a single person that India will be in a doldrum that within 6 months, the situation in India has been so bad now that everybody is saying that the biggest recession is going to come in the world, and that is going to be coming in India. What has happened? Within 6 months? And that also nobody could predict? This itself makes it very clear that everybody is blindly going out somewhere where they do not know only. Nobody knows it. Nobody has any prediction. Everybody is just blindly going. And the worst thing is, we people also get carried away. Sometimes we get carried away. Nobody knows. The situation is right now, within something like 1.5 to 2 months, the stock market itself has crashed by 40%. Just imagine. Where it was booming, within 2 months, when a crash comes of 40% within 2 months, it's a very drastic fall. And the situation in the stock market is there are many people who want to do suicide. They don't have money for doing suicide. This is the situation. For that. this is something very pathetic. This is what I'm seeing it. Where is the prediction? Where are the future? What happened? They are spending lakhs and crores of rupees in research, in analysis, and so much prediction is coming up, so much big profile and a full big notes and everything is coming that we have done projection of this way, we have done thorough research all over the world. What has happened? Why not a single person has come out to say that within 6 months this is going to happen in India? And right now, I have not seen a single person who can tell me with a full prediction that within 1 month, the oil price will be $200 or it will be $100. Right now, the rate is $137 yesterday. I used to ask, can you just give me some prediction with a full perfection that what will be the rate of the oil within 15 days or 1 month? Not a single analyst is able to tell me. This itself proves we are just like a puppet getting played by under some superpower, and still we are not accepting the reality of this world. So this can give you a good, so to say, image of what is going on in this world. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Another who has this, he personifies Bhagavatam through his worldly experiences. Thank you very much. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavat Puran ki jai. Hare Krishna.